We're going to begin at the beginning. Back to the book of Genesis, where the story truly begins. When God speaks the word and brings all the world into creation, that word we come to learn is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, whom we learn about in John, who is the Word of God, who is the life and the light of the world. Pray with me. Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people. In the name of Jesus Christ we ask it. Amen. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Our resurrection story comes from the Gospel of Mark this morning, which is the shortest of the Gospels. And there are additional endings to the Gospel of Mark that take place after verse 8. But they've been added later. Now hear the word of God as it comes to us from the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from us, from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they placed him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When all is said and done, this is how the story ends. Where's the earthquake that rolls the stone away? Where are the guards shaking like jello, the angels in dazzling robes? Where is Peter picking up the grave clothes and the two disciples hightailing it to the tomb like a couple of kids trying to see who can get there first? Where is the gardener who calls Mary by name and turns out to be none other than Jesus himself. There is none of this in the Gospel of Mark. The Easter story ends with terror and fear. The original ending of Mark is short, abrupt, almost as if the gospel writer ran out of ink and parchment and decided to call it quits. In the early centuries following the writing of the gospel stories, scribes penned their own endings to Mark, as if they too couldn't believe he would end his gospel as he did. The part about Jesus going on to meet the disciples and his encounter with Mary Magdalene, these two endings were added long after the Gospel of Mark was written. Mark leaves the reader hanging. It's an uncomfortable feeling, full of sadness and loose ends. But how honest this ending is. Because we too are uncomfortable with sorrow and with death, our own surely, but that of others as well. We don't know what to say when someone's hurting. We don't know how to respond when someone's lost in despair. We don't know what to say when death is in the air. We tend to fill the dark spaces with cheerful platitudes. Cheer up. Never mind. Get over it. It'll be fine. When a desperate teenager says her life isn't worth living anymore, we say, snap out of it. It could be a lot worse. When a couple suffers a miscarriage and we have no idea how to comfort them, we say, oh, forget about it. Never mind. You have other kids. And when our neighbor is grieving for the wife he lost a year ago, we squirm a bit and say, don't you think it's time you moved on? We dance around the edges of darkness and pretend it isn't there. Because it's painful, uncomfortable, frightening. But when we are hurting, we don't need people to dismiss our pain and grief. We need those who have the courage to sit by us, to encourage us, to remember with us, to stay with us. Until we find our way. Melissa, a young woman who has found her life's work on the staff of an organization called Faith in Practice based in Houston, Texas. Many of you have met Melissa and prayed for her. She's the daughter of our own Sandy and Paul Bernadoni, and she's sitting in the pew today. I didn't know she was going to be here when I decided to tell this story. So glad she is. The mission of Faith and Practice is to improve the physical, spiritual, and economic conditions of the poor in Guatemala through short-term surgical, medical, and dental mission trips and health-related educational programs. They provide dental care and surgery for villagers who have never had those yearly trips to the dentist that we all complain about and put off and take for granted. Melissa has made many trips to Guatemala to volunteer her time with the native children. And she loves it. And she loves those kids. And they love her. At a celebration dinner held in Texas this February, a woman from one of the clinic teams shared a story from a recent medical mission trip to Guatemala. Once there in the country, it took her 2 hours to drive to a small village where the dental clinic was set up for the day. She wondered about the day ahead. She didn't really expect much conversation to take place, she said, since the people who attend the clinics are in pain, and the strange and unfamiliar procedures are terrifying to them. Late that morning, the volunteer found herself focusing on a little boy who was comforting a man who was getting a dental extraction. He sat there with the man until he was through. And then he went and he sat next to a 25-year-old. And he placed his hand on that man until he was through. And the woman wondered, how can this little boy be related to two people in this village on the same day? They found out that his name was Hector. So she asked a volunteer translator to ask Hector, Hector, how do you know these two men? And Hector said, I don't know them. I just came to bring comfort. After that, he moved then to the side of a 7-year-old boy who was so terrified of the procedure that the dentist couldn't even work on him. And Hector went and he placed his hand on the chest of that little boy and another hand on his head, and he sat there with him until the dentist could complete his work. And then he went on to the next person, and the next, and the next. That child stayed all day, laying his hands gently on frightened people. He sat with them through their pain, and he comforted them until they were okay again. The woman on that first Easter come to the tomb. They're in shock. They have looked death in the face. They have lost a friend they have dearly loved. Their hopes and dreams have all been shattered. They are devastated. And when they arrive at the tomb, they are greeted by a startling sight, that boulder, that 2-ton boulder, has been moved away as if it were nothing. The doorway is wide open. And inside, there's a stranger sitting where Jesus should have been. Jesus is nowhere to be found. What in the name of God is going on here? Stranger sees their terror, their pain, their fear, and says, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He is raised. As he said, he's raised. You will see him again. You will see him again. Their eyes dart around, looking in the shadows, and it is empty. And the women are trembling. Empty tomb. Jesus gone. Fear and shock and grief. They scarcely can take it all in.
What do? They run. They pick up their inconvenient hams and they race from the tomb as fast as they can go. And only later do they fully understand, only with the acknowledgement of all they have lost, do they discover what they have found. We are all of us standing at the entrance to a huge, cavernous tomb filled to overflowing with all the messy debris of life, the sorrow and the disappointment and the failure and the grief and the pain and the loss. Yet look, the tomb, it's empty. Jesus has left the building. And he has taken with him all the darkness. The tomb is empty. It is empty of all that despair and death, and yet it is full to the brim, full of life. This is how the story ends. When all is said and done, it's all been said and done. The one who began creation promises a new creation in all of us. The end is not darkness. The end is not death. It is life, new life. New life in Christ, the crucified Savior who is risen. So when a teenager says that their life isn't worth living, you say to her, I'm here for you. I'll find someone who can help. You're not alone. And when the couple suffers a miscarriage and people want to pretend it never happened, say to them, I'm sorry for the loss of your baby. And anytime you want to talk, I will listen. And when your neighbor is struggling with a bad day, put your hand on his shoulder and say, of course, you miss your wife. She was a wonderful person. I miss her too. Our grief, our disbelief, our anger, our despair, Jesus embraces it all right there on the cross. Jesus lays his hands on our aching souls, takes on our pain, comforts us, waits with us, just like a little Guatemalan boy named Hector. We cannot close our eyes to the pain of the world. We cannot pretend the darkness isn't there. Jesus faced it. He was not afraid to face the darkness. But we can do this. Like the women at the tomb, we can walk side by side with each other through the darkness. We can stumble together until we find our way. We can promise each other, we'll get there. We will get there together. We'll find our way. We can repeat the message of that Easter morning. Don't be alarmed. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. And you will see him again. Yes. You will see him again. When all is said and done, this is how the story ends. Amazement. Hope. Resurrection. And out of that comes joy. Joy born from fighting our way through the darkness, seeking, always seeking to find that glimmer of light. It shines in the darkness. That glimmer, that light that has been shining there all the time. And we stand at the door of an empty tomb. And we stand beneath a cross that reminds us of the suffering and the darkness of the world. But look, do you see? The cross is empty because Christ is risen. 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 When all is said and done, it all comes down to this. In that region, there were women waiting near the tomb by night. And a stranger appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the stranger said, "Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a tomb empty, the stone rolled away. For Christ is risen. He's risen indeed." Hallelujah. Pray with me. Lord, we worship you, the crucified Savior, who did not deny the pain and darkness of the world, but embraced it. You reach out your loving and gentle arms to us, to wait with us when we are in the shadows, but always, always you are there. On this Easter morning, may our hearts be resurrected with the joy of new life, life that never ends. Life that was in the beginning and shall be forevermore, world without end. Hallelujah. And let all God's people say,